As we heard, the first verse from our reading today is John the Baptist is saying normally and really harsh words for the Jews. And the first open words we hear is the brood of vipers. And this is not a good way to start to engage and talk with people. But as we hold to judge him and to think this is not good, this is not gentle and sensitive, just think of him as an old wise man or woman who's just saying what's in their hearts. It seems harsh and tough, but we all know it comes from the loving and warming heart. John the Baptist came out of the wilderness to the Jordan River, where he taught people about his rule as a voice in the wilderness. And I don't know if there is any difference between the wilderness and what that means in the Western context and the Eastern context. Maybe it has a lot of positive, actually, when we think about the word wilderness here. It's green, it's wildlife, good things. But I didn't think that's how the way my people understood it in the Middle East. It's a place of no water, no group. It's a place nobody wants to be. John was the best person to know about the wilderness and to tell us about it, and even to see it through the way he preached and approached people. Because he was shaped by this environment, as we know today from our modern research and science, our personality is actually shaped and affected by 75% of where we live and where we grow up, and only 25% related to our genes and families. The Baptist appeared in his speech to the crowd as harsh as it could be. And the least we can say about that, if we are too gentle to him, he was at least less sensitive. But this is not the only image we can see of a man who lived in the wilderness. But also there is another very positive and deep side of the Baptist character. He was clear, direct, and honest in his message, where he told what we can call the naked truth. There is no personal interest. He's not scared of the outcomes of what he's going to say, because that's what I believe. As tough and scary as he appeared, but people believed him because he was a man of word and deed. He's not telling people to give up their life and their materials, and he was standing in a very fancy clothes. As we know about him, he was almost eating nothing and honey and almost wearing nothing. He was a man who stood and practiced what he believed in being less material and less really soaked in this world and being away from the truth. As we believe today, John the Baptist was a part of a group who lived in a desert to train their wild bodies to be humble and sufficient with whatever they have. They lived as a community or individuals away from the society. But people came to visit them asking for blessing, healing, advice, and education. In our story today, we see the Baptist was very unique. It seems he was challenged by not saying the whole society is not all evil. There is a hope for that. So he was a kind of the early way of monasticism, if not being a way, but there is a way you can be out to clear and to recharge your battery, but also there is a way in with the society. And the Baptist was unique to come back to the society and say, there is a hope. We are not totally good outside, and you are not totally evil inside. He was reaching out to people by being in and out. We hear the Baptist is preaching to a regular crowd. And by saying a regular crowd, because three groups came together. And when you hear these groups are together, you always have a concern and thinking about what's going to happen next. We can understand the regular people were there because they were the one who was crushed by all evil in the society. And they were desperate to a word of comfort. And let's say it clear and honest. They have more time to waste. They can go around and try to shop for whatever is going on. But here's two groups who were surprised by they were present with the John the Baptist. The first one, the tax collector. As I said, it was a surprise to know that the tax collectors and the soldier were there with the ordinary people. Because these groups present different, and not only different, but opposite interests. And when I see this image, I think about many scenarios could happen. One, they will celebrate their presence in a way I call a fake joy, just to avoid any troubles could come from the soldiers or from the tax collectors claiming more tax. Or the other way, which I can say, that's called a silent fear. Everybody's asking these questions. This group of the troublemakers really know what they are going to do next. Nobody can say it, but it's there. They're staring at each other. The main unspoken question here is, why are they here? Are they here to make troubles? Are they here to hurt me? Fear written all over. We can try to understand where this fear came from. The tax collector were the rich class that surrounded themselves by the power of money instead of investing in people and community. They were safe in some way. Soldiers represented the political power that misused their position and acted like if they were the absolute power without fear of justice or fear of somebody else will watch over them. We can see the poor of the society were the victim of every other powerful groups. And I say it, it's like a rainy day. And rain affects everybody from the top, but the most affected one, the one in the bottom, because the water is going to settle down there. The rich were the victim of their own greed, and the soldiers were the victim of their arrogance, especially toward the powerless one. But don't just pick on one group and make them the villain. Just think the bigger image. In the end, all of them were victims of fear. And all of them tried to adopt a specific coping mechanism to protect themselves. While the Baptist was harsh in the beginning of his message, he acted in a loving and caring way when he helped them to see there is a way. There is a way out of this dark tunnel. You did not be captive. You don't need to live the rest of your life with this fear. Name it, talk about it, let's work towards something better. As we heard last week from Pastor Chris about repentance, and it's about changing direction. And as we keep reading the text, following the text from last week, we understand today, as John the Baptist is telling us, it's not only about changing direction, but also is about moving forward. He was so strong and clear and honest, and he said, bear fruits worthy of repentance. Repentance is a wonderful, fancy word. Everybody will be hijacked by an event of somebody's changing their direction from this direction to the opposite one. But they say, that's not it. Don't stay there. Don't just change your position and then be comfortable and sit there. Move forward. Bear fruits. And in the other part, when he talks about the axe put on the tree to cut it down, he never talked about how much fruits do you have. what the kind of fruits do you have? But he was saying, just be alive. Make your faith alive and make people see it, regardless of how much you can do. And he went direct and clear to his own people. And he said, do not be comfortable with whatever you inherited. And he was referring direct to the Jews. Do not be secure by your own positions and how much you have. Because on the other side, see how much you lost. Do not act if you were the center of the universe. You are good, but you will be better with others. All of them asked, what can we do? And be careful, there were many steps before that. The first step, most of these people, they did an amazing job, the three groups. They actually walked far away to go to this place, to the river. So they did a huge effort. They weren't just a lazy researcher. They were really working hard. And when they went there, as we know from many commentaries, they were actually baptized. So this message wasn't just a kind of like, if you agree on that, I'm going to baptize you. And this is giving a more powerful thing for the Christian message. It's unconditional, even with baptism. It was done in a Jewish context with the way you're going to be baptized. But he was telling you, if you want to go farther, here is my prescription. And all of them were asking and approaching the same question with a different attitude. What can we do? The regular people saw themselves as powerless, and we did enough. We already have enough living burdens every day, and we already have enough to deal with. And they were asking, is there anything we can do? And I think they were expecting John to say, you are done, you are fine, you didn't need to do anything else. But John the Baptist said to them, whatever you have, regardless of the quantity and the quality, because God can see your heart. So go and share if you have a second piece of cloth, sharing it with others. If you have an extra piece of bread, share it with others. Say, there is a lot you can do, regardless of how much we have. The tax collector were also approaching John the Baptist with the same question. Is there anything else we can do? I think this is a human question. It's about, we really did push ourselves that hard to do all these steps, and it's good now to feel like we are done. I think John the Baptist was really harsh and saying, you actually did a lot, but there is a lot to do. They were asking, we came here and we went far enough. We baptized, we made ourselves vulnerable among these poor people, and this should be enough. But the Baptist told them that. This is the beginning of a long journey to be faithful and compassionate toward others. Soldiers and tax collectors had the same attitude about being a people of power and wealth. And they felt they already went far enough. But the Baptist told them, when you leave here to go back to your duty, to your normal life, remember to be just and fair, because that's what's meant to really repent on something. The Baptist was a good preacher because he knew how to challenge people where they were comfortable with their own fake peace. But at the same time, he was comforting those who were wondering, is there a room for us? Is there a room in God's mercy for us? And the Baptist is telling everybody. And the wonderful combination is between the Baptist and Luke, the writer of the gospel. They were very interested in Christ who's saving everybody. They are obsessed with putting the emphasis in God and Christ for everybody. Everybody has a privilege and advantage to come to God's presence and has a role to play in God's kingdom regardless of which position you occupy in the society. John the Baptist was an amazing example to be an instrument of both risk and transformation. He took risk when he stood with his values and preached the truth without the fear of the outcomes. Truth goes with love and mercy. I will say that again. If you forgot everything from my sermon, please don't forget this one. Truth goes with love and mercy. I like to put the emphasis because truth by itself, it could protect us from being a tool of revenge or hate. If we just said the truth without really loving and caring, we can create another harmful atmosphere to others. When the Baptist told the truth, it came from loving and caring ground. So he was able to listen to their needs and questions. And even he honored their position when he didn't ask them to give up their jobs. He actually had no problem with the soldiers or the tax collector maintaining their own rules in society. But he has a problem about the way they practiced that. The way they were driven by their fear and their greed and their power. And simply he was repeating what Jesus said in other ways. Act with fair and just to others in a way you like others to act toward you. And it's our choice today to make Christ only present during Christmas or maybe a few Advent Sundays. Or actually we have another choice. We can help Christ. Think about that. Helping Christ. This is like, you didn't hear that every day. We can help Christ to be visible every day through our careers and daily activities. I hear the voice of the Baptist that wouldn't let me rest. Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Take care of those who are in need. Share clothing, share food, share power, share grief and loss. Do you hear John the Baptist yelling at you? Do you ask the same question, what then should we do? Do you hear the Spirit is encouraging you to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God for everybody and everywhere? As we know, Advent is supposed to be a peaceful time of quiet, waiting for the light of Christ to take us away from our darkness. Even when our peace is hijacked by a severe event like the one we heard on Friday, God still finds ways to approach us. My heart goes with those who lost their loved one everywhere, and especially to the victims of the school massacre in Newtown. There is no enough words in the world express your loss. And there is no person in the world can totally understand your verbal and nonverbal sadness. There is no human efforts could gather the fragments of your broken soul. But there is one God who is interested in the truth, because he's the truth and the way. He's interested in the truth about what you feel and where you are at this moment. And this is the depths of the Christmas spirit. I pray for everybody to explore Christmas even when it's painful.